Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide.
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
106 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. I'm at the home office. Brendan's at the 630 CHED Studios, and Oilers Now is brought to you by Digitex, who wish you and yours all the best during these uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. In this hour, in 17 seconds time, Brian Burke for our friends at Canadian Power Pack, Alberta's leader in electrical construction and service, electrical prefabrication and solar. Brian is sandwiched on today's show by George LaRocque, who comes up at 1:35. We had Louis DeBrusque on prior to. And without further ado, off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, and we welcome back to the show longtime NHL executive, now a lead analyst for NHL Hockey and Rogers and Sportsnet, Brian Burke, for our friends at Canadian Power Pack. How you doing, Brian?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Not bad. We'll have a little bit of fun first before we get into some of the serious stuff. Teeth. Louis and me were having a little bit of a conversation on teeth. Well, let's just say I worked up north for a long time, and sometimes there wasn't fluoride, but so I have them break sometimes when I have like a blue whale or one of those Swedish berries or something like that, and the rest of the media contingent have some chuckles with me. I've never had one knocked out in a fight, though I have lost fights before. I'm just wondering, during your playing days, either in college or when you played minor pro, did you have any teeth catastrophes along the way?
I lost only one tooth. It's a miracle that I didn't lose more, but I lost a lower left tooth when I was playing in the American League, and Mike Polich hit me, and a cheap shot. We had a little running battle going through that game, and busted off a tooth. That's the only one ever. I never lost one in a fight.
Did you ever give him the stick and let him know you're there afterwards, or was there a retaliatory shot the next time you played him or anything like that?
Yeah, no, I got even with him, but that was one of the. I was tied up with him at center ice, same game, and he tried to slew foot me. I had the puck, which is a rarity, and he tried to slew foot me from the side, so I got mad and I threw him over my leg instead. I slew footed him, but I did it too hard, and I cartwheeled him, and his skate came right at my face, and I ducked sideways. And his skate went right into my ear instead. So I had to get, I don't know, 15, 18 stitches. I forget how many. And they had to put the stitches in with the forceps because it's going through the cartilage in my ear. And they said, been a half inch higher or lower, you would have lost your ear. Well, the team doctor would not sew me up without Novocaine. So it took the whole first, this is like the first shift of the game, second shift of the game. So there's a minute left in the period, and I skate out to finish the period. And the other team, it was Halifax. They're all jawing at me, like, you idiot, there's only a minute left in the period. You're not even going to get on the ice again. Why didn't you just wait? So they're barking at me for coming out with a minute to go. I was a rookie, though. I figured I better get picked out there.
That's the thing. You know, we often talk about the doctors, but dentists play a critical role for these hockey teams, don't they?
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's all about getting the guy back out on the ice. Like, you know, when I was playing in Providence for Lou Lamoriello, I got a bad cut on my forehead, and the doctor put in three stitches to close it. And I went right back out. Didn't miss a turn on the ice, no Novocaine. Then after the game, he put in 15. He took out the three and put in 15. Now, this is 2 hours later, big swollen egg on my forehead. Those stitches hurt. Like, usually they do it right away with no Novocaine, and you can't feel it, right? You just got cut. And it's, but those ones hurt. It was 2 hours later, and I had big egg, and that was painful.
I got told stories, and I'm thinking it might have been Rocky Mays, who ended up being a member of the EPS here at Edmonton, but he was a former Edmonton Oil King. For some reason, I thought it was him in the old Southern Pro League, that the dentist wasn't there, and he got butt-ended in the face, knocked a bunch of teeth out, and so the boys just got him liquored up that night, and he went right through until he saw the dentist at 8 in the morning. I mean, obviously, it's not like that in the National Hockey League. It's not like that in the American Hockey League. But I'm going to assume we've come a long way in those kind of regards over the last 25, 30 years, Brian.
Yeah, they still, most of the players still don't get Novocaine when they get stitched up, though. They just want to get back out there. So I don't know anyone that would let a doctor shoot them up to do, you know, 5 or 10 stitches. I've never seen it. I don't think, I've never even seen a needle on the suture tray. The doctor has the kit laid out before the game with a suture tray. There's no Novocaine on the tray.
I remember when Taylor Hall got stepped on, he wasn't wearing a helmet in the pregame warm-up, and he lost his balance, sort of picked and careened into the boards, and Corey Potter, who many thought had heavy feet to begin with, clattered into him and got a piece of him. And I could not believe how good of a job the docs in Columbus did sewing him up afterwards. Like, you couldn't even tell in about 6 weeks after that he'd had. Like, it was a little bit scary there. You know, it was unsettling for the team, and that's in a warm-up. Like, that... We also had, I think it was Ryan, I'm thinking it's Ryan O'Meara on our farm team. He's part of the Canadian World Junior team. He came over in the Ryan Smith trade to the Islanders, and he got run into by another one of the players down in Springfield, the Oilers farm team, and got knocked you-know-what out cold. You know, in pregame warm-up, you're like, talk about friendly fire. Like, it's bad enough you got to worry about, do you ever have something like that where one of your own guys took out one of your guys when you're either managing or playing?
Well, I remember Taylor Hall's injury, and that's why I made my players wear helmets in the warm-up. It was not optional. I told him, I said, you go out without a helmet, you may as well take your stuff off because you're not playing.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a great job sewing up Taylor Hall. Like, you see him today, you can't even tell he was a horrible gash like that. You can barely see the scar.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. All right, let's get to the here and now. And I know, you know, we're watching and monitoring. Do you have any reason to believe, now that it has gone through from the committee that worked on the return to play and on the CBA from the NHL and the NHLPA, and it's been passed forward by the 31 player reps for the respective teams, do you have any reason to believe that the players will not ratify this return to play and contract extension?
No.
What do you think the vote's going to be?
Overwhelming in favor. I will tell you, I think the players made a really good deal because the numbers don't add up. You and I have talked about this frequently.
Yes.
Flat cap at 81.5, 10% deferral, and a 20% cap on escrow. Well, the escrow is going to be closer to 40% this year. And so the cap at 20, that's gone. So the players effectively are taking a 30% pay cut for this year. But the flat cap for 81.5 for next year, I don't understand it. I don't know where this money's going to come from. And so the owners have the Seattle expansion money, which is about $20 million a team. And then I think they're betting on a vaccine, and they're betting in 2 years, if Gary does a new U.S. TV deal, that there will be a lot of money. But otherwise, these numbers don't add up. And it's like the owners are saying, okay, it's a tough time. We'll carry you guys. We'll keep the cap at 81.5. We'll cap escrow. But the numbers don't add up for me. Now, they'll make the players skip their last paycheck, which is about $125 million, I think, $150 million, that goes back into this money that they owe the owners. And they'll sell some TV rights around this tournament that's coming up because the rights holders aren't going to carry all the games, so they'll make some ancillary revenue that way. But the numbers still don't add up to me. So I think the players should ratify it because I think it could be a lot worse news that they're voting on.
Is there any chance, I mean, look, we all know Gary Bettman has tremendous respect from the owners around the league. They only need 51% as well. There's no way the owners don't accept what Gary's put forward here, is there?
No. When Gary puts something to a vote, it's like elections in Chicago in the 1960s. they could tell which each precinct was going to vote. And Gary has the full backing of the executive committee. This will pass easily on both sides, in my opinion. But again, I am baffled about how you're going to make this work with the money that's committed. I thought we'd see a across-the-board rollback in wages and a decrease in the cap for this year and next year. I think the cap will stay flat for 5 years, is what I think.
So it'd be 81.5. How old were you when the Democratic National Convention took place in 1968? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was. I had moved to Boston right about then. We moved and lived in Boston for 1 year before we moved to Minnesota. But so I had left Chicago. I lived in Chicago from 1960 till about 66, I guess, 66.
I know CNN had 1968 on a couple of weeks ago, and then I also watched all of the Bobby Kennedy for President documentary that was on Netflix. And obviously part of the response from a lot of the younger people with that convention that year had to do immediately following the assassination of RFK. So pretty interesting stuff, Brian, let me tell you, to watch that and to think that some of the societal issues we have today, they had back then as well. We thought maybe we'd move further along. That's for another conversation at another time. All right. Should there have been an amnesty buyout, or would that have been too player friendly as well?
No, this is very player-friendly. I don't think there should have been any buyouts at all. I think you'll see increased buyouts, though. I think teams before would say, okay, to spend $4 million and only pick up $2 million in cap space isn't worth it, so we're just going to pay this player out. I think now with teams as tight as they are, you will see more buyouts because of that cap space, that little sliver of cap space will become more important. And I think you'll see a couple offer sheets. There are a couple teams that absolutely will not be able to mass an offer sheet.
Offer sheets. Well, we had one last year, right? We have Jerry Johansson on the show about once a month, and he was part of a significant offer sheet for Sebastian Aho, right, from the Montreal Canadiens. So you think there could be another one coming then?
I think a couple. There are teams that are literally right up against the cap, and some that have penalties for bonuses that were paid to entry-level players. There would be a couple teams that are absolutely not in a position to match an offer sheet.
Any specific players, you think, off the top of your head?
Well, I think you can, if you look at capfriendly.com, you can identify the teams that have a couple significant restricted free agents.
Right.
And no cap space.
There you go. They did put a provision in the new CBA, Brian, about the fact that organizations can spread the bonuses over the next couple of seasons to ease the pain a bit. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they should have addressed the bonus issue entirely. Like, this is like ugly shoes, Bob. Remember the analogy I used?
Yes.
When you criticize something, they've done a great job with this. This is a phenomenal document. And at a time when they needed to be creative and flexible, they were. And they did it with minimal fanfare, no public discussion, no bitterness or rancor. I am really impressed. So when you complain about one small thing, it's like I say to you, hey, there's a beautiful woman. And you say, yeah, but she's wearing ugly shoes. Nobody ever says that. So this is ugly shoes. But the signing bonus issue really troubles me. And I don't know why the union tolerates it. So 3% of the players in the league, the guys that need at least get lockout protection and get all their money in July. It doesn't make any sense to me why the rank and file put up with it.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Just regarding a beautiful woman, usually they're not looking my way. I convinced one and fooled her, and that's been that. So there you have it, Brian. All right, one final one here for you. And I know you're watching and monitoring things, and we do updates every day on the show at 12:10. What's going on with COVID? We had a bit of an outbreak at the Misericordia. Brian, there's only four people in ICU in Edmonton out of 150 possible beds that the province initially set aside in Edmonton. We did have a couple people pass away, which brought us a couple days ago, which brought us to a total of 17 over the 4 months, which is minuscule compared to virtually every other market. But are you concerned, because you know the states well, are you concerned that we might, you know, the soccer has lost two teams now. They've lost Dallas and they've lost Nashville in this MLS playdown that they're taking place in Florida with. Any concerns that we have, like, is it possible a team doesn't make it here, or what would the league do in that situation?
Well, I think the next 2 weeks are critical. Like, players have to be very disciplined. Well, I'm not worried about once they get to the bubbles. I really think the league's thought of everything there. But the positive tests the next 2 weeks are definitely the big fear in regular training camp, because the players are not in a controlled environment. You can't stop at McDonald's on your way home. You can't stop and have a couple beers at the pub on your way home. You got to go right home. And teams that are successful in seeing this through and winning a Stanley Cup or getting in the finals or whatever are going to have to be disciplined these next 2 weeks. They've got to get to the bubble with no positive tests or one positive test, say. And if they don't do that, they're in trouble. So the next 2 weeks will determine the fate of this experiment, if you will. And players need to be very disciplined right now. This is the time, the GMs I talked to in the last couple of days, this is the time they're dreading most, not the bubble.
You worked in Vancouver. You worked in Calgary. You certainly understand the Battle of Alberta. You understand what it's like. But maybe you could educate our listeners here on because some people would say, well, I don't agree with Edmonton hosting this hub city. It doesn't make a significant economic impact, which, you know, it is going to make some economic impact. But is it advertising that Edmonton and the province of Alberta can't buy by having, you know, three games a day out of here for the first week and two games a day for, you know, 4 weeks, and then potentially, based on reports, the championship series for the two respective conferences and the Stanley Cup final. Can you buy that advertising with the constant mentioning of Edmonton and the scenics from Edmonton during the summer and that sort of thing?
No, and if people can't see the value of this, why do you think people tried so hard to get this tournament in Edmonton? Because of the value. There's no windfall, economic windfall to the Edmonton Oilers. It'll probably cost them money. But for the length of this tournament, they haven't said that the finals will be in Edmonton, I think, officially, but they're going to be. For the length of this tournament, every TV crew from around the world is going to be outside Rogers Arena saying, here we are in lovely downtown Edmonton. Now, I got news for you. Edmonton's a great city, but the visuals in December and January are not good. It's dark right at 3 o'clock. It's freezing cold. Now they're going to see a side of Edmonton they haven't seen before, and it will drive some tourism and make people think well of the city. I think it's fantastic.
Brian, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
You bet. It is 1:22 in Edmonton. Truculent Thursdays in Oilers Now will continue. George Laroque coming up at 1:35. I'll give you a bit of an update on my mandatory mask rule indoors. I only ran the vote for 3 hours, and I'll give you some feedback on that when we return on Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, it's 1:25 in Edmonton. Welcome back. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Roos Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. Edmonton owned and operated. Open from Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. Head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Maggie, and Taylor, the staff at Roos Chris, that Oilers Now sent you. So, put a poll out today. It was really simple. And the poll went ran for a total of 3 hours. Okay? Should Edmonton have a mandatory mask rule indoors? 2,991 people voted. 63% say yes. 37% say no. So there's the numbers for you. One of the comments was, just let the medical professionals make the decision for us, Bob. And you know what? I think there's a lot of confidence out there in Dr. Dina Hinshaw. All right, Truculent Thursdays, and I'm in an F-150 truck, courtesy of the folks at Brent Ridge Ford. Out in Wetaskiwin, where cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. Standing customer service is also a key to doing business as well in the province of Alberta. You know that. Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin is a 9-time President's Diamond Award winner for customer satisfaction. They'll provide you with outstanding service at the time of the purchase and will continue that standard of service after the sale as well. So let Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridge Ford lend a hand by calling 1-877-477-3673 or go online at brentridge.com. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Again, you can text us at anytime on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. And former defenseman Mark has said, Bob, I regrettably missed yesterday's show. Well, some might say that's a good thing some days. At the end of Tuesday's show, I sent in a text to you and commented about RNH's new contract negotiation and equaled it with Duncan Keith in Chicago. I believe given what will more than likely happen with a cap and that it's going to be flat, UFAs like RNH will go for one-year terms. The reason I say this is because of the Duncan Keith contract. The cap went up substantially after he signed that contract. At the time, it was a good contract for him. As it turned out, he left millions on the table. I believe RNH will sign a one-year extension and could continue to do so until the cap gets back to where it is. I think he could have gotten $6.5 or $7.5 million on a five-year extension. If the cap drops, to 50 or $50 million. Well, the cap's not dropping. It's former defenseman Mark. It's going to be at 81.5. So former defenseman Mark saying if the cap is at $50 million, Nuge would only get 4.8. I think Nuge can get $6 million a year in a $81 million cap. I think he's worth that. So those are my thoughts, Mark, in terms of the text. But what do I know? I don't know. 128 in Edmonton. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, George LaRocque. When we return in Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.